Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
The long rebound, Wayne Tedman, and the horn will sound, and that's it. Opening night, 2017-2018 season, and the Atlanta Hawks have come into Dallas and beaten the Mavericks. The Hawks 117, and the Mavericks 111.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And here we are for another edition of Locked On Kings. We made it to the end of the week as the Sacramento Kings will continue the early part of their season. Friday night, they begin a three-game road trip. It's not the most brutal trips for the Sacramento Kings. There'll be more difficult trips down the line, but they open up with Dallas, and then they take on Denver. That part's difficult, the back-to-back, and then they close things out Monday against the Phoenix Suns. Some news on the Kings before we get our Dallas Mavericks preview with our guest today, Mike Peasley, who is the pre-half and post-game host on the Dallas Mavericks radio network. So he will join us here in just a moment. But we start out with news regarding the Sacramento Kings, as Bogdan Bogdanovic still has that sprained right ankle. He is listed as questionable. So day-to-day, basically, for Bogey for the game against the Dallas Mavericks. Harry Giles, as you know, they're still being very cautious with his bilateral knee rehab. He will definitely be out, and expect him out till about January. And then Zach Randolph had that oral surgery. He is questionable, so also likely day-to-day. Dave Yeager did say at the media session on Wednesday for the home and season opener, he thought Zach might be ready, but we'll have to wait and see about that. As far as other things regarding this game, the Kings and the Dallas Mavericks, over the years, the Kings have had awful, awful luck in Dallas. They've just been one of their most horrific places, especially that long drought. They finally broke that recently in the last year or so, but the Kings took 2 of 3 against the Dallas Mavericks last year. They will play this team 4 times. They've got 4 matchups with the Mavericks, including the one on Friday. Then they will be back at the Golden 1 Center in February, American Airlines Center again in February, and then in March, the final one at Golden 1 Center. So 4 matchups this year. And, of course, when you think of the Dallas Mavericks, you look at a team that had their opener against the Atlanta Hawks, lost that one on Wednesday. That was also a home opener for them. They started a lineup of Wesley Matthews, Harrison Barnes, Dirk Nowitzki's playing the center, Yogi Ferrell, and then the guy that Dallas fans and everyone's really excited about, Dennis Smith Jr. Another key contributor will be Nerlens Noel. So I personally think this team is so well coached by Rick Carlisle, one of the highly regarded coaches in the league. I just think their talent isn't as strong as it's been in the past, and they're kind of going through a makeover as well. But it should be an interesting game, certainly, to see how it all plays out between the Kings and the Dallas Mavericks. And to get us a little more perspective on that, we check in with the Mavericks Radio Network pregame and postgame host, and that is Mike Peasley. And Mike, let's start with that home and season opener with Dallas. They hosted the Atlanta Hawks, a team that there weren't a lot of expectations for coming into the season. But what do you think was the good and the bad from the opener for the Mavericks?
Well, what went right first, we'll start with the positive, is this team scored 111 points. And, you know, last year they played at the second slowest pace of anybody in the NBA. Only Utah played at a slower pace. So with rookie guard Dennis Smith Jr. now, they're picking up the pace. So they were able to do that extremely well. The second quarter was really the demise offensively. They were 5 for 24 from the field and 1 of 12 from 3. But then they found their three-point shot in the third quarter, and they shot about 38-39% from three, so that's certainly a livable percentage. So that was good. What really cost them down the stretch, though, was just the inability to get a defensive rebound. Fourth quarter, they gave up 5 offensive rebounds for 11 second-chance points, and, you know, they fought back, got the game tied, had a defensive stop, did not get the defensive rebound. Atlanta put it in, gave them a two-point lead, and the Mavericks went on to lose that game by 6 points. So offensively, it was good, 111 points, but defensively, you give up 117 points to an Atlanta team that's not going to be a great offensive team. That's an issue.
So the 111 points, I want to start there. That was, as you said, kind of maybe a point of emphasis. Was that the point for Dallas because they were struggling scoring last year? Do you think that's something that will be common going forward, or is that more of a case of playing the Atlanta Hawks?
No, I think that's something we can expect moving forward. I'm not going to think this team's going to average 111 points per game, but they're certainly going to increase that because they're going to play at a faster pace. Dennis Smith Jr. had a great game at his rookie debut, so they're going to continue to push the pace. They've got a deep bench. They played 10 guys last night, and you know, a lot of guys contributed. Nerlens Noel was terrific coming off the bench. He had a double-double. A lot of people, including myself, wondering, you know, why did he only play 20 minutes last night and only 3 minutes in the fourth quarter when he was probably the best Mavericks player out there on the court. He had 16 points, 11 rebounds, 3 block shots in 20 minutes, and coming down crunch time, a lot of Mavericks players were getting beat off the dribble by Dennis Schroeder. Didn't have a guy to protect the rim, and they went with the Dwight Powell instead. So that was kind of a decision that a lot of people questioned into Rick Carlisle with after the game last night. But, you know, overall offensively, I think this team's going to be good. But, you know, rebounding has always been an issue for this team because they don't have a guy that's, a strong rebounder outside of Nerlens Noel. Dirk is starting at the 5 these days, and, you know, he'll get you 5-6 rebounds per game. So rebounding is going to be an issue all season for this team.
Yeah, I read the same thing. Obviously, you lived it. You were there. But to read some of the things in the write-up about some curiosity of Nerlens Noel's minutes. Did Rick Carlisle answer that or explain that, or just was he really even asked about that?
Yeah, he was asked about it, and they really didn't have an explanation that satisfied a lot of people. He said he kept with the Dwight Powell because Powell hit a couple of big shots that the Mavericks needed. One with about 5.5 minutes to go, he knocked down a 3-pointer that tied the game, and then a couple possessions later hit another 3 that gave him the lead. So, you know, we really didn't find a great explanation why that Nerlens Noel didn't play more than just the 3 minutes there in the fourth quarter because, you know, he, as I said, he was outstanding. He was a difference maker when he came in the game on both ends of the floor. So I got to think moving forward, Jason, that Nerlens Noel is a guy that's going to play 25, 28 minutes per game, not just 20.
All right, you mentioned what I'm sure Maverick fans are all excited about. Dennis Smith Jr. had a chance to see him in Vegas. You've seen him all his games now so far, preseason, Vegas, and his one regular season game. Everybody should be excited. But what is it about him that has everybody really around the league thinking this could be one of the great young players?
It's his athleticism. It's just remarkable how athletic this guy is. And first offensive play of the season for the Mavericks, they set up a lob for him. It was a little back screen by Dirk. Wes Matthews beyond the 3-point line. Dirk set the back screen, lobbed it up to Dennis Smith, and he threw it down for the dunk. And so I was like, okay, this is how it's going to be with this kid, huh? But what's remarkable about him and talking with him and starting to get to know him is that he is 19 years old. But man, I wasn't that bright as a 19 year old kid as this guy is. He's got a humble nature about him. Except when it comes to the basketball court, where he is as confident as any kid I have ever seen. He knows that he is playing now as a teenager with the grown men, but he feels like he belongs. Now, he made some mistakes last night. Sometimes he took the ball too far into the paint, but, you know, the Mavericks were expecting that from him because, as Rick Carlisle said, look, with this guy being a point guard in the NBA, this takes years, you know, not weeks. So they'll live with the good and the bad with this kid, but he had a great night last night. He had 16 points, 10 assists, shot 50% from the field, only turned it over 3 times, played 30 minutes. You know, it was an outstanding debut. There's so much to like about him.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see him go against the Kings' young guys, too. How about, I know he's not playing right now, what's the status for Curry, an ex-King? Where is he going forward?
Yeah, he's got a stress reaction right now in his left tibia. And it's something that, kind of popped up a little bit in the Mavericks' first preseason game against Milwaukee. And he played through it. He played throughout the preseason. Then about the second to last one, it started to, you know, aggravate him a little bit more. So then they shut him down. And, you know, we got an update last week. And they said, well, we'll update you again in another week. So that was last Saturday. So we'll get another update here coming up probably before the Houston game. The Mavericks played the Rockets on Saturday night. But it's kind of a week-to-week thing right now for Seth Curry, so don't have a strong timetable. And obviously he was penciled in as the Mavericks starting two guard, so they're missing him. But Yogi Ferrell has filled in, and Yogi had a nice night last night. He knocked down three three-pointers, and the Mavericks have a lot of depth in the backcourt with Devin Harris and J.J. Barea. But they'll miss Seth Curry because he really had a breakout season last year.
So, Mike, where do you think Dallas is amongst the West? Obviously, nobody's thinking of them at the top, but can they be in that mix? And really, the bottom of the West seems open, but I don't know if Dallas can get in there. Where do you think the Mavericks fall in line?
Mavericks are probably, I think somewhere probably 35, 38 wins this season is kind of what I would think. If everything goes well for this team, maybe they could finish 500. But everybody here in Dallas knows that this is just start of a quote-unquote rebuild, if you will, because they're starting to put some young pieces together. Whether or not this is Dirk's final year or not, he's kind of left the door open that maybe he will return for a 21st NBA season, depending on how this year goes. But they've got Dennis Smith Jr. in place now, the point guard. Harrison Barnes is there as well. He's, 24, 25 years old. So they're starting to put some pieces together. And if they are in the lottery again this year, they get another lottery pick. So they're getting younger. They're getting more athletic. And this is the kind of season right now where you just want to have Dennis Smith Jr. soak up as much as he can, learn as much as he can to move forward, because his potential is just off the charts.
Is Dirk all right with how he's got the MVP. He's got a title. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. There's no question of all that. Is he okay if it just kind of ends this way with maybe a non-playoff appearance the last couple of years?
Yeah, I think he's kind of relegated to the fact now that his playoff days are probably over with the Mavericks. But he loves the day-to-day grind, and he says, as long as I continue to enjoy that, I'll keep playing. And watching him, we get to go in there after practice, and just seeing what he goes through once the practice is over, just with stretching and with everything the trainers do with him. It's amazing the amount of work that he does just to keep him fresh. And he said that, his body feels great. This is as healthy as he's felt in going into a season in a long time. He's not going to play a ton of back-to-backs this year. Mavericks probably have him penciled in to play maybe 65, 70 games this year. But he's still Dirk, and he is a guy that can stretch out the floor. He can pick and pop with Dennis Smith Jr. I can't wait to watch that chemistry develop here this season as well. So Dirk's the consummate professional. He's going to go out there. He'll probably average 14 points a game, but he knows now that, he's no longer the focal point. Harrison Barnes would probably be this team's leading scorer. Dennis Smith Jr. is the team's most exciting player. But, man, when you play 20 years in the league for just one franchise, only he and Kobe Bryant, the only two players in league history that have ever done that, it's remarkable. And he still has a shot, an outside shot, of catching Wilt for a fifth on the all-time scoring list. He's about 1,100 points behind, and I did some of the math last night, and if he played 70 games, he'd have to average 16.5 points this year to catch Wilt for fifth on the all-time scoring list.
Well, that'd be a fun thing to track, and he has no desire. He wants to end in Dallas, right? He doesn't want to go anywhere else just to play for a playoff team.
No. He and Mark Cuban are so tight right now. Dirk is one of, just a couple of people in the NBA that actually have a no-trade clause in their contract.
So
Dirk isn't going anywhere. He's got he has his ring. Maybe it would have been a little bit different if 2011 didn't happen, where the Mavericks won the championship. Maybe then that he would have a change that, maybe I want to go chase the ring. But he's got his ring. He's got his family. He's got kids now here. Dallas is his home. He'll be a Maverick for life.
And Cuban has been one of the great owners in the league. Is he, obviously, he's signed off on this plan to kind of go through the rebuild. He's always been aggressive in free agency. He hasn't been able to really land one lately. But is he kind of taking this all in and okay with kind of the rebranding of the Mavericks?
Yeah, he talked with us a couple of days ago, and doing what an owner should do, and pimping up propping up the team a little bit, and saying, okay, they're not going to be as bad as many as a lot of people think. But yeah, he understands where the Mavericks are right now in the situation, especially now in the era of the super teams, where you've got four or five that are really good, and everybody else that's kind of in back of the pack a little bit. But He's so excited about Dennis Smith Jr. I mean, he was just ecstatic when, the Knicks took Frank Ntilikina at number 8 and Dennis Smith Jr. dropped down to him at number 9. So they're hoping that Dennis can be, the next cornerstone of this Mavericks franchise like Dirk has been the last 20 years. So, yeah, Cuban hates losing more than anything, ultra-competitive guy. But he understands where the Mavericks are right now. And the Mavericks, they've got some cap space moving forward. So we'll see what happens in the offseason as well. But again, as I said earlier, if the Mavericks end up in the lottery, it's not the worst thing in the world. You get another piece to add to a young nucleus surrounded by Dennis Smith Jr. and Harrison Barnes moving forward.
I know you're going to get a chance to see the Kings firsthand, but you probably follow the league all the way through. So just from afar, it's been a tough time. I think about all the great playoff series the Kings and Mavs have. Seems like a distant memory now. But what do you think about what the Kings have done in kind of their retooling?
I like it. I do. I like De'Aaron Fox. I'm looking forward to watching him play just with his athleticism that he brings out there on the floor too. And I like, the veteran guys that they brought in, the Zach Randolph and, Vince Carter. Vince Carter, of course, played here in Dallas for several seasons, one of my favorite guys ever. That has come through to talk to. You put that together, and there's a lot to like about, the Kings. I think the Kings and the Mavericks, there's a lot of similarities between the two of where they are going to be at here in this season. They've got a nice, young, promising, young athletic guard that's, going to hopefully be the cornerstone of the future moving forward. Young players with a mix of veterans as well. Yeah. A lot of similarities between the Mavs and the Kings.
And you brought up Vince. I mean, he's barely been here, but he's the guy that spoke before the game on the season opener, says all the right things. He can do basically anything. He's great with the media. It's not just a show. I mean, he's world class as a person, isn't he?
Oh, he's the best. And you talk to anybody that has covered him, when he went to Memphis, after Dallas, all the Memphis people were saying, oh, what a great person he is. And all the Dallas media are saying, yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
And now here are the Sacramento people saying, hell, what a great person Vince is. And now the Memphis and Dallas people are saying, yep, that's who he is. So, what a great veteran leader to have in the locker room to help mentor some of the younger players. Just a terrific, terrific human being and an outstanding basketball player.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun to watch these two teams kind of build it their way and see how it works. Mike, thank you so much for the time. I know we'll talk again during the season, and we really appreciate it.
Always my pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Jason.
My thanks to Mike Peasley for joining us here on Locked on Kings. Thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us hopefully all week. We've had a good week numbers-wise. Keep telling people that you're listening. I ran into a few people out at Golden One Center on the home opener for the Kings. They said they listened faithfully, so I can't tell you how much that means to me. I really appreciate it, trying to give you the daily content that you Kings fans look for and NBA news, whatever we can provide. And again, if you have any suggestions, anything you would like to hear, recommendations, please send it to me because I'm doing this for you guys. I hope you're enjoying it. I have appreciated the feedback. So at JasonRoss1140 on Twitter or my email as well, jason.ross@cbsradio.com. Any kind of suggestions, feedback, I definitely encourage that. If you would go to iTunes and rate us there, that goes a long way for our network. Check out the entirety of the network, too, if you get a chance with everybody else that's doing their shows daily in the NFL, Locked on Raiders, Locked on Niners, but Locked on Fantasy, Locked on NBA, Locked on all the teams. It's all there for you. And Audio Boom, Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, all the regular places to find us. Again, tell a friend, let them know we're out there. And I really do appreciate your support and your feedback. And just listening in, I really do appreciate that. So thank you so much. Have a great weekend. We'll recap the Kings weekend, the game against Dallas, the game against Denver, and then, of course, preview the Suns game on Monday. So a lot to get to on Monday. And then next week, Boogie will be back. DeMarcus Cousins coming in next Thursday. So a good week of basketball coming up for the Sacramento Kings. But thank you so much for listening, and we'll be back on Monday for another edition of Locked on Kings.
You are Locked on Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked on Podcast Network, your team every day.